And to start the week on Culture File, what use is the Turner Prize for Contemporary Art? Plenty, decides our correspondent Orit Gat in her latest voice notes, gathered at this year's shortlist exhibition at Tate Britain in London.
They say there can only be one winner, but that's not actually true. In 2019, the four artists nominated for the Turner Prize, Helen Kamek, Lawrence Abouhamdan, Oscar Murillo, and Tai Shani, decided to share the award. They asked the judges not to choose a single winner, but to give it to them together. They are making a statement against division in a volatile time, and also a gesture responding to the infamy of the Turner Prize, how it created a cult of individuals around the artists who won it. In 2021, the prize was given to a collective, the Array Collective from Belfast, after only nominating four collectives. These are new attempts, but the Turner Prize is now 40 years old and often still associated with the YBAs, that group of London artists in the 90s that includes Damien Hirst, who won in 1995, showing two halves of a cow and a calf, each bisected and preserved in formaldehyde, and Tracy Emin. She didn't win, but won some fame for showing her bed, remnants of her youthful lifestyle stained into the sheets, in 99. It's kind of fun to discuss the Turner Prize. The tabloids get involved. You can place a bet. There are endless mentions of controversies of awards past, like how Chris Ofili's paintings rested on dry elephant dung, how Tino Segal gave visitors to the museum £2 as part of his project, how David Trigley is that artist who made a dead dog sculpture. For the record, it's a taxidermy dog holding a sign that says, "I'm dead," and it is pretty funny. This year, the newspapers once again have complaints. The Telegraph ran an article titled, "From Buzzy to Box Ticking, How the Turner Prize Lost Its Way." At The Eye, critic Florence Hallett said that it was boring, pompous, and disgracefully narrow, and adds, "There's no question that Claudette Johnson must win, but how I wish she had some worthy competition." The bookies agree. They give Johnson 40% chance. At the Times, they say it's time to retire this embarrassment of a prize. The Guardian critic, Laura Cumming, gave it 2 stars out of 5, saying it's everything, everywhere, all at once. Is that a bad thing? I wonder. I feel like it takes some confidence to go against everyone, but here I go. I really like the Turner Prize show, even more so. I think it's one of the best I've ever seen. Granted, I was too young during the glitzy Hirst and Emin years, but I don't want glitz anyway. I want to take things seriously. I start by remembering that this isn't just a prize, but an exhibition. And the four artists are nominated for an exhibition. At Tate Britain this year, the artists mostly opted to recreate versions of the projects for which they were nominated. This means viewers get to see an impression of these four shows from the last year that the jury found meaningful and worthy of attention. The red 1980s Ford Ascot, covered in a doily, which has become the image most associated with this year's crop, featured in all those bleak reviews, is part of Jaslyn Kaur's Alter Alter, which she showed at Tramway in Glasgow. It echoes a devotional space, with a carpet on the ground and a sky above, actually panels suspended from the ceiling that were painted a bluish-gray because it's supposed to be the Glasgow sky, above which Kaur placed objects like a football scarf, tape cassette player, and 2 bottles of iron brew. There's an automated harmonium that repeats the same hum constantly, like a mantra. It does feel like an altar, but a bit unclear to what. Like the old car with the white textile doily, it feels like a hybrid, an inexplicable image of how someone experiences life. There isn't a single explanation for what this is about. It's definitely personal, it's definitely about identity, but it's also about the specificity of these objects. That's because the objects that surround us are complex and heavily laden with histories. This is also the subject of Pio Abad's presentation, which brings together artifacts from the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford, where the work was originally shown, with works he made to reflect on the history of his country of origin, the Philippines, and colonial heritage in Britain and elsewhere. There are huge sculptures in cement and bronze in the shape of jewelry. They reimagine an obscene bracelet made of rubies, diamonds, and pearls owned by Imelda Marcos, wife of Filipino dictator and kleptocrat Ferdinand Marcos, as well as a tiara she owned, which originally belonged to the Romanovs, was auctioned off by Stalin after their execution and ended up in the Melda Marcus's collection. Abad uses the exhibition structure itself, telling these stories through the wall labels, adding a layer of knowledge to the objects which are already haunted by history. At an exhibition where so much is so conceptual, Delaine Labat's installation feels intensely different, handmade and all-encompassing. Labat, who is of Roma descent, isn't explaining or bridging any cultures here, instead creating a saturated installation that combines walls covered in aluminium foil with murals, drawings, music, and sculptures of dead flowers and ghostly characters. As viewers move through her space, it shifts from black and white and tin foil to pastel colors, gauzy materials, and drawings on large loose papers, like one of a huge heart, not the emoji shape, the actual pump thing, as large as a whole chest, in green watercolor, next to a pink flamingo drawing. The lightness of these is not a tonic or a balm to the darkness of the rest of the installation. It's just part of this very inhabited world that's full of stories. At first encounter, Claudette Johnson's work would seem the most straightforward of the four. Her drawings and paintings are all portraits. Initially, I wondered if her presentation perhaps lacked the intense energy of Labat's and Kaur's work. And then I turned the corner. There, on a wall, is a huge painting on gesso, that crusty material used to prime canvases, of a Pietà. And it is so beautiful and so intense and so historical. It shows a black mother holding her adult child. Around the image swirls a text that still hurts me to read. Every mother was called when he called for his mother. Any mention of box ticking is shameful in an exhibition that includes a work like this. Proof that in a violent, difficult world, an artwork can still stun with emotion. And that's what matters. Maybe instead of the annual placing of bets and pearl clutching, but is it art? We should look at it like art. They say there can only be one winner. But what if you don't care who won? Instead, you can see the work. You won't lose anything by not placing a bet.
Orit Gat's voice notes there, and the Turner Prize exhibition runs at Tate Britain until the 16th of February 2025, if there's still a world by then, and the winner is announced on December 3rd, if there's even a world by then.